Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 1 Leviticus chapter 16. The pastor's glad there's not a second Leviticus so that I don't have that work to worry about today. Leviticus chapter 16 for our first reading. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron cast lots upon the two goats. Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat, he shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do that with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in fire, their skins and their flesh and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, I hope that in the reading of this chapter that we see the great privilege that we enjoy being able to appear before the Lord. Notice how Moses begins the chapter. After the death of Aaron's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, after they had died before the Lord for offering an unauthorized offering before the Lord, for misbehaving in the priest's office in the sight of the Lord, after that, the Lord says to Moses, and it's an interesting thing, tell Aaron that he should not come at any time into the holy place, lest he die. We don't often think of God like that today. We don't often think of God as so very holy that we must take care how we come into his presence. And that the Lord in his mercy said unto the priests, you only need to come in once a year. Did you see all of the things that Aaron had to do to come? He had to put on holy garments. But before he put them on, seeing they were holy, he had to wash and bathe himself. He had to come with blood. He had to come with incense and fire from off of the altar. He had to come according to a particular procedure, not only with particular things. I hope you noticed that there was a difference in the sprinkling. That in one instance, Aaron was required to sprinkle at the base of the box, the ark. But then in the other instance, he was required to walk around the ark to the back side of it and to turn and face the east, the opening, and to sprinkle toward the east. What if he got that wrong? Well, the threat was that he would die before the Lord. That's what would happen. And so the Lord, in His kindness and in His mercy, dedicates a particular procedure and says, you only need to do this once a year. If you're coming all of the time, there is much more opportunity for mistake in this. Isn't that interesting? Does that not teach us something about God? About His great and grand holiness, and that we should fear to sin before Him? Does not this teach us something about our sins and God's holiness? I will tell you that when I read a passage like this, and I then am moved to recall conversations that I have with Christian folk today, or those who have a profession of faith in Christ, and they say things about their sins that reveal a lack of concern over them, that it makes me shudder. When I think of my own flippancy toward my own sins, it makes me shudder. It should make us all shudder, brothers and sisters. What kind of God has God revealed Himself to be? A holy God. And so when Aaron would approach in that sacramental approach to God for the sins of the people on the Day of Atonement, only once in the year, he must come in this particular condescending propriety that God had given to him. Otherwise, he ran the risk of dying before the Lord. Let that sink in. So then, what was it that Aaron was to do, and what did these things teach us? Many wonderful things, and many a wonderful sermon is taught here in this passage. First of all, Aaron himself is unclean. And so there is a ceremony for Aaron, the shedding of blood. And there is what Andrew Benar, in his wonderful commentary on Leviticus, what he calls the powerful sermon of the blood. That's a great term, isn't it? Teaches us of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, without which there is no remission of sin. And that Aaron himself, even in the office of that high priest, was laid upon by necessity because of his own sins to offer that blood and to preach that powerful sermon of the blood. But not only that. There was another powerful blood sermon that was preached over the tabernacle itself. The tabernacle that was so wondrously crafted, ornately fitted, according to the commandment of God, and everything in it was just so. It was exact according to God's commands, and yet it was unclean, and there must be a sacrifice offered for it, because it dwelt in the midst of the Israelites who were unclean. And so there was indeed an ongoing sermon of the blood that was preached when the tabernacle itself was cleansed by the blood of the goat. Then there was this other grand and wonderful sermon of the blood. After Aaron was cleansed, and after the tabernacle was cleansed, now we might make use of the priesthood and of the tabernacle, but only after that cleansing. Then there was this powerful sermon that was preached, can I say it this way, in the sermon of the blood and in the sermon of the legs. Why would you say that? Yeah. The sermon of the blood, because one of those goats was slain, and the sermon of the legs, where that second goat was allowed to run free in a land not inhabited, which signified the Lord taking their sins and moving them out into a place not inhabited, never to be remembered again. So the sermon of the blood and the sermon of the legs. Okay, a strange phrase. Hopefully memorable. And in all of that, the Lord is testifying to His people that they are sinful, that they need a Savior, that there is indeed blood to be shed for their sins. Notice that this Day of Atonement, this Yom Kippur, as we know it in the Hebrew, was a special day and it was called a Sabbath day. It was not a Sabbath day because it fell on the seventh day of the week. It was a Sabbath day on the calendar, no matter what day of the week it was. It was one of those Jewish Sabbaths that passed away with the coming of Christ and with His work. But it was indeed a Sabbath day. But notice that this was different from other Sabbaths. On the weekly Sabbath, on the seventh day of the week in the Old Testament, and the first day of the week in the New, there is not fasting enjoined upon the people of God. Our Sabbaths are not generally fasting Sabbaths. Now, they could be. There could be a proclamation because of some great wickedness in our country. Oh yeah, like we've had last week. We could indeed proclaim a Sabbath. Proclaim a fast on the Sabbath day or sometime during the week, that the people of God would afflict themselves before God, crying out to God for the sins of this nation. That has been done in the past. It will be done in the future. I'm currently talking to the rest of the churches in our presbytery, and we will make some kind of decision over the next few weeks. Beyond that, however, notice that this Sabbath was also a fasting Sabbath. That this seventh day of the seventh, is that right? The 14th day of the seventh month, that there would be a Sabbath, but also a fast, because they were to remember their own sins and to afflict their own souls for their sins as the atonement was being made for them. And of course, no atonement was being made by the blood of bulls and goats, but as it pointed to Jesus Christ. So what does the Passover teach then? What does this Yom Kippur, not the Passover, what does Yom Kippur teach? What does the Day of Atonement teach? It teaches that God's people are sinners. That even when God chooses to dwell in the midst of them, that while He is not affected, not drawn into their uncleanness, that they remain unclean. Although they are a holy people, dedicated and consecrated unto the Lord, that they are still a people that must have their sins forgiven. The final thing that I'd like to say about this chapter is that the writer in the book of Hebrews teaches us that this was not the final estate and that this yearly Yom Kippur was testimony to the atonement of Jesus Christ, because this was a yearly event, and it never made the worshiper perfect. But that when Christ came, and as the Apostle Paul says, that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, that the Day of Atonement truly has indeed taken place when Christ died upon the cross. That is the true Day of Atonement, when Christ carried His own blood into the holy place. That there is no more need for a Yom Kippur. That day is gone. And so those Christians who claim the name of Christ, who go on to celebrate the shadows, do so in ignorance, and not to the benefit of their own souls, but to the detriment of their own souls. Thus ends the reading then of Leviticus, 1 Leviticus, chapter 16.